journey through a message series entitled The Missing Pieces. And I think this is that we're wrapping up this Sunday. I think we 6 weeks maybe is about what we've been working on through this message series. And the idea behind the message series has been what are some of the missing pieces in our lives? Sometimes maybe they're maybe obvious and we don't even realize it or we miss it. And over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about perhaps some of the missing pieces that you maybe are, and I hope and I pray that as we've talked about them, maybe you were like, oh, I'm not sure I even realized that worship was a missing piece in my life. Not so much like getting together and singing some songs, but rather the object of my worship was misguided. It was not the thing it should be, or the one it should be, the one who alone is worthy of our worship, but I was worshiping this other thing or this other person or whatever the case might have been. Maybe the missing piece for you as we've spent some time talking over the last couple of weeks has been a deep sense of community. Maybe you'd say, you know, I feel like in my life I'm missing a sense of community. I'm missing healthy and helpful relationships that are helping me to look more like Jesus. I'm missing those things. Oh, I didn't even realize I was missing that, and that's in fact, a missing piece in my life. Or maybe it's growth, right? Maybe you're a churchy person, as I call some of us who grew up in church or been in church for a long time, us churchy people. Maybe you've been in church for a really long time, but you don't feel like you've actually grown in any way in your faith, perhaps for decades. And you're like, you know, I don't know that I even realized I hadn't really grown in my faith for a long time. And we talked about, well, what's the plan for that? What does that look like to have a plan for growth in your faith, in your relationship, right? We think of other aspects of our lives where we want to grow, right? I want to grow in this relationship, or I want to grow in this profession or this expertise, or I want my health to, you know, I need to be healthier. And so we have a plan. We put these things together. But oftentimes, we don't think about that as it relates to our relationship with God or our spiritual growth. Maybe growth was one of the missing pieces for you. Last week, we spent some time talking about service. And you go, you know, I mean, I've been doing this church thing. It's fine. It's good. It's all good. And I got community. It's fine. All right. Great. All those things. But I'm missing opportunities to serve. I'm not engaging in service. And maybe that's one of the missing pieces for you. This morning, we're going to wrap up this whole message series entitled The Missing Pieces. All right, and what I'm going to talk about is mission. And it's not exactly the same as, like, missions going and serving or helping to fill needs. But I want to talk about kind of maybe mission as it relates to the mission that I think that Christ lays out for each of us. So the question that I would start with and ask you is this. Is the mission that your life seems to be on, does it line up with the mission of Jesus? And I would argue that all of us have a life mission or missions. There are things that we're like, this is kind of the my life's purpose and mission or missions are these things, right? Maybe it's I want to be a good spouse, or I want to be a good parent, or I want to be a good neighbor, or whatever it is, right? I want to be a good teacher or whatever. Like, does that mission of your life, does it line up with the mission of Jesus? Now, and if you have your Bibles, I'm going to give you all sorts of passages to check out this morning. As I mentioned to the first service, if you are find yourself going, you know, a couple weeks ago you talked about growth and spiritual growth and growth in my faith, and I realized that I need to spend more time reading the Bible, as I have a lot of people tell me that. But I don't know where to start, and I don't know what to do, I don't know what to read, and it's boring. Which, right, there are parts of it super boring, okay? But I try to, every week, give you some things that perhaps the following week you could spend time with. So I would encourage you, take some notes, write some things down. If you're like, you know, I need to spend some more time reading the Bible, I don't know what to read. Well, I'm going to throw a bunch of stuff at you this morning that later this week, perhaps you could also spend some time with reading. In John chapter 17, Jesus is, it's at the end, towards the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. It's getting to be really kind of intense for Jesus in the next couple of 24, 48 hours. And he's there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying to God. And he's praying for himself, and he's praying for us, okay? So in John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus says, "And so as you sent me into the world, now I'm praying that you will also, and I've also kind of sent them into the world." Them being us, you, me, right? And so Jesus is kind of saying, here's the mission. You have given me a mission. And now, as you have given me a mission, I am sending everybody else to go out into the same mission. John chapter 17, verse 18, if you're writing that down. Isaiah chapter 6. So even in the Old Testament, this mission was still there, right? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, we see Isaiah, he's rolling into church, just like you came in this morning. Isaiah was going into church, and maybe he wasn't really expecting to hear from God. Maybe he was like, I don't even know the songs they're singing, or these new lights are super bright, or whatever, right? Just like you're doing, Isaiah was rolling into church, doing his thing. You're like, ugh, church, right? He's going to church, and then all of a sudden, God speaks. And God says, so who can I send? And who's gonna go for me? Right? The mission is there. Is the mission that your life seems to be kind of pursuing, is the mission of your life big enough to really give meaning and purpose to your life? I mean, if you take a moment and just reflect on that question, right? Whatever the mission is of your life, is it big enough to really give your life meaning and purpose? Does it line up with the mission of Jesus as we read in Matthew chapter 28? So this is at the end of Matthew's gospel and has come to be known as the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus, before he ascends into heaven, he says in verse 19, therefore go, he says, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all the things which I have commanded you, that they would obey them. And surely remember this, he says, guys, remember this, that I'm going to be with you always on this mission. So the mission of Jesus is to go, right? This mission that we read as we read it in the Great Commission is deeply personal. Jesus is giving you the mission, you as an individual, the mission to go. Me as an individual, the mission to go. It is also sort of beautifully corporate, right? It involves the whole church and each of our individual lives. That it's a thing that we kind of are doing together, being on mission. My hope and my prayer is that missions here at Gateway is a part of that is meeting needs physically and spiritually, right? We have a missions team, and we spend time, and we're actually kind of in the process of expanding that. So if you're interested in serving on our missions team, let me know. And if you've already filled out something that says, hey, I want to do that, then you're probably going to get a phone call or an email here in the next week or so as we're trying to kind of bolster this thing back together. But my hope and my prayer is that at missions here at Gateway is not just the team of people who are like, oh, let's figure out what physical needs we can meet or things we can do, but rather that it becomes a part of our culture. That missions is a part of our culture, and that the mission of Jesus to, I would say, love God and love people is just a part of what we do. That we're trying to strive to live daily on mission. What does that look like? What does it mean to live daily on mission? One author put it this way, that when we begin to live daily on mission, when we think about this idea of therefore going, loving people, loving God, that when we think about doing this daily, that we sort of, we begin to have this Great Commission conscience. That we're constantly just thinking about the things of God and how we can love people, how we can love God, and how we might go and live on mission. So then the question becomes, well, how the heck do we do this? Matt, okay, sure, fine, whatever. But how do I do this? How do I live daily on mission? And I believe that it all kind of revolves around really primarily one thing. Notice people. Notice people. The fascinating thing about Jesus is that he is always noticing people. I mean, when was the last time that you really noticed the cashier at the store or at the gas station or noticed some person at the bank or in your neighborhood or every day perhaps when you walk through the cubicles of work? When was the last time that you took a moment to notice people. Jesus gives us countless examples of the ways in which he notices people. You'll find that in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, Jesus, and starting at verse 1, I mean, here's a great example. As he went along, verse 1, chapter 9, John's gospel, as he went along, Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth, right? Just Jesus just going about his normal daily routine, just normal business, here, there, whatever, just doing his thing, and he notices this blind man, right? If you go on to verse 6, Jesus, who going about his normal day, just doing his own thing, minding his own business, is willing to notice people, notices this guy blind. Verse 6, so he spits on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes, which is kind of gross. Verse 7, and then he says, now go and wash this off in the pool of Siloam, which means what? Says it right there for you, right? The mission, Jesus taking time to notice people, tells the guy to go to the pool named Sent. Maybe because the guy was sent there, or because perhaps part of the mission of loving God and loving people is that we are sent. Go. Therefore, go and make disciples. So he goes and he washes. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Verse 8. His neighbors. Now remember, this guy had been blind from birth. The only way that this guy could survive was on the generosity of other people. And so he would go and he would sit and he would beg every day. That was the only way. That was his only job. That's all he could do. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging had said, now isn't this the same guy who used to sit right here and beg? And some claimed that he was. Others were like, nah. He only looks like him. But he himself, the guy who was like, guys, hello, I can hear you, because that was never an issue. Also, now I can see you. It's me. I'm the guy. And some of the neighbors were like, no, you're not. No way. No. Because they never took the time to notice. How many times did they walk by this guy sitting there begging and never took the time to notice, even so much so to the point where Jesus heals the guy and he's like, hey guys, it's me. And they're like, no, it's not. There's no way. There's no way that could happen to you. So how do we live on mission? I believe that in order to live on mission every day, it has to start with noticing people. And I think in particular, there are three times that when we take a moment to notice people, there are three times in individuals' lives when they are most open to God's presence in their lives. The first one is this, that when individuals sense as though they are lacking something, hence a message series like The Missing Pieces. When you and I sense that we're missing something, or maybe perhaps you can think of individuals that you know, maybe you work with, maybe they're family members, friends. I don't know how you know them, but you might be able to think of individuals who just have the sense that they're lacking something. We know that those individuals in that time are in particularly open to things of God. I mean, look at the blind man. Clearly he was lacking his sight. He didn't have a job. He didn't have money. Probably didn't have many friends, probably didn't have a whole lot of self-respect. I had people walk by him every day he was walked by, every day he was overlooked, every day perhaps people thought less of him. And then Jesus shows up. Can you think of people that you might know who are lacking something? Perhaps they lost a loved one. Perhaps they've lost a relationship. Perhaps they lost a job. Perhaps they lost the false sense of control that we think we have. And individuals that maybe you know that are lacking something. It is an opportunity to be on mission every day and notice these people who are lacking something. The second time when we see people who are in particular open to God is that when people feel broken. When people feel broken, and perhaps you can think of this story in your own life, Jesus was always aware of people. And he was always aware, especially, of broken people. I mean, think of the individuals that Jesus took time to interact with. The woman at the well who had 5 broken marriages. Zacchaeus, who had no friends because he cheated him out of all their money. Jesus took time to notice Zacchaeus. He was broken. Mary Magdalene, broken by 7 demons who had possessed her. The crippled guy who hung out by the pool of Bethesda and had no working legs. Jesus took time to notice these individuals in their brokenness. I wonder if the cracks of brokenness might be the very openings for God to enter in. But first, we've got to notice people. We've got to notice that when people sense they're lacking something, or notice when people feel broken. Now, what's interesting about this story is if you jump back to verse 2 of John's gospel, so Jesus was going along doing his thing. He sees the blind man, and then the disciples say, well, hey, Jesus, so whose fault is this? Because clearly someone must be at fault that this guy is blind. Was it him or was it his parents? Whose sin caused this? And I'm thankful that the disciples asked this for this reason, because I think sometimes it's easy for us to live in the cause and effect sort of mindset, where we think, oh, well, what caused this, right? In particular, right now, we have lots of, as a country, there's a lot of things happening, but just recently, we've seen some natural disasters that have come through, and I think I just heard yesterday of maybe another named storm that's kind of coming again towards Florida. And we have people who call themselves Christians will say, well, here's why this happened. God is causing this because of this. This is the effect of this thing. And right, it's easy for us to live in this sort of cause and effect mentality. And I wonder if Jesus is walking along and he sees the blind man and the disciples go, Jesus, whose fault is this? Whose sin made this happen? And if you read the rest of Jesus' response, he's like, nobody's. Wait, you mean sometimes bad things happen to good people? And Jesus is like, yep. Because the world that we live in is sinful and it's broken. Now, please understand, I know that some of the brokenness that we experience is because of our own choosing. We make choices that are not perhaps helpful or healthy. Other times, it's simply because we live in a sinful and broken world. And yet, in the midst of the brokenness, when people feel that, I'm wondering if the cracks of that brokenness might be the very places that open up for God to enter in. The last season, perhaps, that someone might find themselves in that we find that they're in particular open to the things of God is when they are spiritually searching. When they're spiritually searching for something. Now, this is different than the other two. The first two, when they're lacking something or when they feel broken, those tend to be a little more obvious, either to themselves and or to those around them. We might be able to think of individuals who are like, oh yeah, they're lacking something, or yes, that's just brokenness. When they're spiritually searching, it not only takes us to notice them, but what becomes interesting about that is it's a little bit different, is now we also need to begin to hear them. And so we are not just seeing with spiritual eyes as we notice people, but we're also listening with spiritual ears. Right? You hear me talk about, when I talk about context, and we try to hear and understand an individual's context and where their story is coming from. When we are going to take time to help and connect with people who are searching spiritually, we have to begin to listen to their story and try to understand their context. Right? When we start to hear, an individual ask questions like, you know, well, why did, I wonder why God caused that. Or I wonder why God allowed that to happen. Those are spiritually searching kind of questions, which oftentimes means that an individual is open to kind of thinking about that and perhaps even a response. Not an answer, right? Because who are we to answer? But we can give response. We can maybe even kind of turn it around with another question. Not in an argumentative way. Don't be a jerk. That's not part of the mission. Not part of Jesus' mission, you know, be a jerk. But rather, how can we perhaps use that as an opportunity to invite people into the story of God's hope and his love? When people are searching spiritually. Sometimes you and I, we just have to be willing to ask the right questions. Now, these are just three ways to be aware of as sort of on-ramps for living on mission daily. Opportunities to just notice people and be aware of people around us that we might then share stories. I mean, some of you have stories of ways in which God has changed and transformed your lives, and you've never once shared it with anybody. And these are three opportunities where people, I would suggest, are looking for your story, are looking for you to share your story of the ways in which God has changed you. God has brought hope into your life. God has brought life back into your life. But those are just three examples or possible kind of on-ramps for doing that. So now some of you might say, why would I care? Why do I care about this? Why should I care about mission? Why should I care about living on mission? I'm an introvert. I don't even like people. Or you might be like, I'm only even halfway committed to this whole God faith thing. Or maybe some of you would say, I'm only barely surviving myself. Like, I am just trying to survive. How, let alone trying to talk to somebody else about it. I'm just trying to survive. Two reasons that I would leave you with why I think you should care about the mission. The first one is time is short. I think it's easy for us to forget the urgency of the gospel. None of us know how long we have, but it's not long. Jesus says that in verse 4 of John chapter 9. He says, as long as it is day, we must do the work. We must be on mission of him who sent me, who sent us. For night is coming when nobody can do any work. Why should we care? Because time is short. There's an urgency. You cannot read through the Gospels, and you cannot read the words of Jesus and not hear a sense of urgency. And it has become so easy for us to kind of go, I'll get to those things tomorrow. Because time is short, the second one is this, because we believe that everyone needs Jesus. The blind man clearly needed Jesus. Not only did Jesus allow him to see physically for the first time, but I would suggest probably spiritually for the first time. We believe that everyone needs Jesus. Why should I care about the mission? Because the mission of loving God, loving people, of noticing people connects them to Jesus. The one who has perhaps changed your life and is capable and desires to change somebody else's life. I mean, we believe as United Methodists that God's grace is present in every person's life even before they're aware of it. So God's already doing something. God's already there. Thankfully, it does not depend on you and me. Praise God. God's already present in an individual's life. And so for you and I to just simply live on mission and notice people means it might be as simple as just inviting them to come to church with you. That's it. Right? You might not have to do anything more than that. It might just be inviting them to come to church because, thankfully, it doesn't all depend on you, and praise God, it does not all depend on me, even as the guy who up here talking, because otherwise we'd all be toast. When was the thing, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because then I'd probably just get mad at some of you. Have you ever invited someone to church? Don't shake, don't even like look at me. I won't even look at you. Have you ever invited someone to church? Why not? If you're like, no, I haven't. Why? I mean, partly, I want to know and I want to learn. I mean, if you go, well, honestly, Matt, I said this last year. Honestly, Matt, I'm kind of embarrassed by you. I would say, okay, that's fair. Then let's schedule a time to chat, because I would want to ask you then, why do you come here? Like, why are you still here? If that's not it, then why have you never invited someone? If God has changed your life and you have never shared that story with anybody, what are you doing? Follow-up question, or the other side of that coin maybe is, when was the last, some of you go, well, you're not talking to me because I invited somebody to church when I was in middle school. When was the last time that you invited somebody to church? Because praise God, it does not depend all on you and it's not depend all on me. But church can be a part of changing somebody's story. Your story that God has moved and worked in your life could change somebody else's story. And when we talk about people and noticing people who are lacking something, who are feeling broken, who are searching spiritually, they are basically asking you to tell them your story. If we're going to live on mission daily, we have to care because there's an urgency to it and because we believe that everybody needs Jesus. I believe that God is still asking the question like he did in Isaiah's time back in the day when he said, who can I send? Who will go? And my hope and my prayer is for you and me that we might be able to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, we give you thanks that you are willing to use us. Somehow you use us. Despite us. And we give you all of the praise and the glory for that. Lord, we are thankful that it does not depend on us, that you are doing something, and that we simply have to trust that you are active, that you are moving, that you are working, and that you're going to do something, and that we just have to allow ourselves to be used by you. Help us to live on mission every day. Lord, help us to have eyes to see people. There are people hurting all around us. There are people broken everywhere we look, and yet so many of us never even see them. Lord, and I confess I am guilty of that. Lord, help me to notice people. And then help me to trust you when you want to use me. Lord, when you want to use my story because of what you've done in my story, not because it's my story, but because of the ways in which you have shown up in my story. Lord, that you want to use my story to change somebody else's story. Lord, some of us this morning, we just have missing pieces in our lives. We've tried a lot of other stuff or other people thinking that's going to be it. It's not. It's not, and it never will be. And so we pray that you alone would help us to find the missing pieces. Help us to live on mission. Because there's a lot of other people who got a lot of missing pieces. And so we pray that you would use us.